Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Priscilla Leona. I am producer and host of the show Question Reality, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Now, this show is definitely for you if you are questioning your career reality by considering or currently pursuing a career in the entertainment industry. For 8 years, our guests have provided advice, tips, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in a wide variety of show business positions. Now, the guests on our show are hot. They're Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars. We've got producers, directors, casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters, actors, singers. Oh, God, I'm getting hoarse just talking about it. Oh, let me clear my throat. I'm a little flamenco-ed. We got models, we got musicians, we got comedians, novelists, script supervisors, and we even throw in an entertainment lawyer just because you're going to need one at some point in your life in the entertainment industry. So the list goes on and on. But what's important to note is that all of our guests have been selected because they're at different stages of their careers, from professional, obviously, to the novice or beginner. And the reason we do that is because we want to make sure that we will definitely have someone on the show who can personally relate to you, your situation, and they're also able to answer any of your show business career questions. So we make sure that that's priority. It's very important to us. We want you to know about the trials and tribulations at all levels if you decide to pursue a career in show business. Now, if you missed any of our shows or you want to seek advice about a specific entertainment career, if you want to be a producer or a director, or you want to pursue a career as a script supervisor, or a celebrity makeup artist, fashion designer, you want to be a stuntman, you want to know how to direct special effects, we have everything. You need to go to our archive page, though, to listen to that particular show. And we have it listed by the name of the guest and what their particular profession is and their website address. And you can play the show immediately, or you can download it to your computer and listen to it later. And you would have to go to the latalkradio.com website, latalkradio.com website. And then you search for our show, which is, again, Question Reality, or you can search by my name, Priscilla Leona. And all of the shows for Question Reality are available for free on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And I want you to make sure that you get our newly designed free app on the homepage of the LA Talk Radio website. It's located towards the bottom on the right-hand side. A lot of people emailed me and said, I can't find it. Where is it? Oh, my God. Well, it's there. You just have to scroll all the way down to the bottom. So there it is. Now, finally, very exciting news. We are currently booking for 2017. So if you want to be a guest or refer someone to be on the show, we are currently booking. So go to our official website, which is totally different from the LA Talk Radio website. That's where we air the show. A lot of people send me emails and they're confused. They're like, okay, there's a website, questionrealityradioshow.com, and then there's latalkradio.com. Okay, so our show is questionrealityradioshow.com. That's our official website, questionrealityradioshow.com. And you go there and you click the contact link, and that's where you submit to be on our radio show. And LA Talk Radio is the actual radio station where it airs, where we go and we do the radio show thing. So there you go. Now, if you want to see who our guests are, for example, For the future, you want to go to questionrealityradioshow.com, and that shows all of our guests for the year of 2017. If you want to hear all the past guests, you would go to latalkradio.com. That's our archive website page. So that's where you go. All right. Talking. That's what we do. Tired of talking, but have to continue on to announce our guest today. He has been on our show before. We love him. He is such a sweetheart. His name is Ed Roman. And he is an award-winning singer, songwriter, and a top 100 MTV.com and number one Reverb Nation artist. Go to his website now, because I'm about to go on advertisement instead of sleeping. You can go visit his website, edroman.net, not .com, .net, Ed Roman, R-O-M-A-N.net. He's also on Facebook, Ed Roman Music, on Twitter, Special Ed Roman, and on YouTube, Special Ed Roman. And around 5:30, I'm so excited because we're going to be playing his single, The Way She Goes, from his latest album, Red Omen. So, if you want to take a bathroom break, come back, because at 5:30, you're gonna hear it, and it is so fabulous. Wait till you hear this song. So much fun. Now, before we talk to Ed Roman, I have to tell you guys, so excited. Oh, all right. So this little really cool film short that I worked on as an actress. Now, I'm not an actress, but I have lots of producer friends and director friends. And whenever they need a little fluffy fat person, they call me. Well, not fat, but I'm a little plump in all the right places, looking good, pulling off the, Anna Nicole Smith thing, times three maybe, but looking like a million, I say. So anyway, I get called to do this wonderful project called Moonbound 24. And I'm so excited because we just won Best Web Content at the Hollywood Real Independent Film Festival. And my character is named Peg Leg. And this character is so funny. Now, Moonbound 24 is one of the most out there experimental sci-fi comedy web series that I have ever seen. It is so funny. I'm telling you, this is just, Ward Edmondson, who is the director, he did a phenomenal job on this. You got to see it. Basically, what it's about, it's a futuristic look at the end of the world, and then there's a mad rush for people to become one of the last 24 people to escape Earth and fly to the first inhabitable moon colony, which also happens to be man's last chance for survival. So basically, he interviews people. If you were given 60 seconds to explain why you should get one of the last seats on the last rocket to the moon, what would you say? So you got to think fast, because you only have 60 seconds and your time starts now. So me in particular, it involves a bucket of chicken, Kentucky Fried Chicken, obviously. There is a tinfoil Viking hat involved, and there's a live chicken, possibly on the shoulder. So that's all I'm saying. It's just, now you can see this this Friday. So go to the website Hollywood Reel, R-E-E-L, Hollywood Reel Independent Film Festival.com. Hollywood Reel Independent Film Festival.com. And tickets are available right now. And the festival runs from February 16th to February 28th. Lots of really funny little shorts there. So please check that out. Again, director Ward Edmondson. He is just one of the coolest people ever. Love this. Again, Friday, February 18th at 6 p.m., our short is going to show at the Regal Cinema LA Live this Friday, February 18th. There's a red carpet. I'll be there. Autographs, pictures, blah, blah, blah. So come and visit me and say hello. I would love to meet you. All right. Enough about that. Let's get back to Ed Roman. All right. Now, Ed Roman is repped by, I just want to say, one of, in my opinion, excuse me, I have a little cold. He is repped by one of the most professional talent managers in the business. And this man's name is Michael Stover. And I am so serious about this. He is the owner of MTS Management Group, MTS Records. He has won so many awards, and rightly so, because I work with a lot, you know, booking people on the show. Most of the people are booked by talent managers, PR reps, agents. And I work with so many of them. But I have been working with Michael Stover for years now. And this man is an amazingly professional man. I mean, this is a man who, if he's working for you, he is on top of things. He returns emails immediately. He returns all messages. That is so important, not only for me, but for the artists that he's representing. Because, excuse me, you can lose a job. You can lose so many opportunities if the person who's repping you is not on top of things and they are not, like, available 24/7. This man, Michael Stover, I tell you, if you are an artist, a musical artist, looking for representation, I swear I'm not even being paid to say this. I am saying this because I am straight up sincere. You will want to check this man out. Excuse me, his name is Michael Stover, again, MTS Management Group, MTS Records. He represents all different types of musical artists. He's won 2013, 14, and 15 CMG Artist Manager of the Year, 2013 and 14 IMEA Artist Manager of the Years, 2014 Nashville Universe Artist Manager of the Year, 2015 Josie Show Country Blast Radio Manager of the Year, 2015 IMEA Record Label of the Year. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on and on. Please, please, if you care about your career, please go and check this man, Michael Stover, out. You can only propel your career to new heights. I'm just going to tell you that. And I know someone that can absolutely tell us if that's true or not, and that's Ed Roman. Welcome to the show, Ed Roman.
Hey, Priscilla, are you questioning reality?
Ah, you! Oh, my God, yes, I am. I am questioning the reality of you coming back here, and I'm so excited about it. I didn't think it was possible because you have been rocking and rolling and winning awards and traveling the globe, and I thought there's no way I'm going to get Mr. Ed Roman back on the show, and I'm so happy that you're back. Thank you.
Correct. You are so correct. I am glad to be here.
Well, we almost missed you. Thank God for Kim, your wife, who ran in and told you that the phone was ringing. You, of course, are in, I imagine, Canada right now. Now, Ed, when we think of Canada, we all don't necessarily think of country music artists. But I know that over the years, our mutual friend, Michael Stover, your manager, who I can, again, honestly say is probably the most professional music talent I've ever worked with. I think that you can highly recommend him as well to anyone seeking to promote their music career to award-winning heights. How do you like working with a manager in general as a musical artist? Because a lot of people feel they want to keep that complete control of their artistry, and they feel that when they add someone from a business side that it interferes, they're going to lose control. Why don't you tell us how that is such, if you can particularly afford that, not everybody can afford to build a team, but maybe you could tell us how this is definitely a winning move to do this.
Well, it's essential. I mean, especially if you're serious about getting, you know, your art and music out, we're speaking about that in particular, music, to a wide variety of people, listening audiences, shows, advertisement, licensing. It's a huge part of it today because it's kind of the new essential. And I know some people have fears and the control mechanism of it. And some people are really good at micromanaging themselves. And that's to one level. But I think the fear relevates around the fact that they're with perhaps the wrong company. Your words are found in gravity by saying Michael's so good at what he does. And that's not because he's telling his artists what to do. He sees, fortunately, he's open-minded and sees potential in multiple different kinds of art forms when it comes to music. And as a result, he lets it flourish and puts it into the right hands to go, how does this work? How can I make this work? He asks questions, hard questions about, well, what kind of song is this? And how can it be utilized, whether it be for radio or TV or getting out there to be performed? So I think that's the biggest, you know, hurdle is finding that right person or group. But Michael definitely is shone through as one of those people that not only does that, but then you have that sense of trust because he's an honest guy. I mean, Mike is like a brother to me. And aside from that, we have a working business relationship. The other aspect is that he cares about his clients and the people that he works with, whether it's contacting people for shows or, you know, what's going on, man, how's your life doing, or those kinds of things. It's all important. So I guess that's why when he calls it family, the MTS family, that word family has punctuation marks around it, because it's true. He believes us all to be kind of part of the gang, and he works wholeheartedly towards it. It's super important. I think that's what I said in the beginning. If you're serious about getting to that next level, it takes some time and energy to take it to that next point. So you're like, wow, you know, the craft is working.
I mean, again, Michael Stover, you got to check him out for sure as a talent manager. Now, as you're talking, Ed Roman, I hear a boat, and that says Canada. So, let me ask you, as I started out saying, when we in the States think of Canada, we don't all necessarily think of country music artists. So, is Canada predominantly becoming or a country music loving kind of country? What is the scoop on country music love in Canada? Because Michael Stover has booked so many Canadian artists who are country music artists. What's going on in Canada?
Well, let me tell you, eh? I think country music, let's try to define that first, because ultimately to me, country music is like folk music. It's music that comes out of basements and armchairs and sitting around talking to people around campfires and ideas that happen because of certain things. And we can classify what those aspects of country music are, because there's more roots related stuff as opposed to more of the commercial aspect of it. But Canada is a hotbed for that music. You're right. There's a lot of country artists that are coming out of Canada. But at the same time, there's amazing classical music being written and performed, jazz music being played and performed and written, all kinds of stuff, rock, funk. That's the thing. It's like, I know we have our perceptions about each other, and that border creates this sort of artificial border, the non-visual one, that sort of divide about, well, what happens here and what happens there. But really, as I've traveled across from country to country, I see, wow, it's happening everywhere. It just depends on us as people to look for it and go, hey, I want to go check that out.
I love that. Check it out. Check it out, Canadian act.
Yeah, but if you really want me to go there, let's talk about it like this.
I
could go bat bacon, I could go like beaver tails and some hot coffee, eh? But if you're not wearing a toque, you're not from the Great White North, eh?
I love that. No, Ed, you're a musical artist who can artfully blur the lines between pop and rock and folk music and country music. What do you think is your secret, or the secret to a musical artist being able to do this successfully?
You know what? It's trying to keep, and I use the word trying, and always reminding myself to listen and to keep an open mind about it all, because I think that's one thing. As artists, you sort of, even actors or comedians, you get kind of pigeonholed into certain things until you prove your worth. But when you start realizing and opening up to the possibilities, like Michael Stover, he's not exclusively a country manager. And it's funny, it's even radio stations that I've known him to talk to, you know, will get them to branch out as a result of him having some philosophical conversation about keeping an open mind. So I think that's the same thing. And when I try to embrace the ideas as they come, and I'm listening to it or other musicians' ideas or concepts, it's like, well, let it happen, because it kind of wants to do that. That's like even when you're called in, even on a studio gig, and you're a hired gun, let's say, and you may have a chart or something, and everything may not be definite and written in stone yet, and you're kind of there to feel it out and let it happen. There's a certain kind of magic through the listening process that occurs. It's like even in those documentaries I've seen lately on Muscle Shoals, or the stuff from the Wrecking Crew, and how those amazing iconic tunes from Aretha Franklin to you name it all kind of evolved as a part of this sort of listening collective. And that's what I'm trying to do. And if it lets it flow in a country way, I'll take it on, man, because it's okay by me. And same thing with the jazz world or funk or spoken word. Or I like it all, but that's the thing. As the process pulls me through it, I start to realize, who am I to question it? So if I let it happen, then a nice sort of beautiful thing occurs. And I guess that's what people, when you say that, I appreciate that so much. That's what they're feeling. That's when they get, oh, okay, I get the crossover thing. It's not like it's trying to be, you know, forced.
Exactly. And your songs, your songs have received regular rotation on more than 100 terrestrial radio stations. And for those of you who don't know what terrestrial means, that is like a radio station where you can go and walk in. It's a brick and mortar building, as opposed to what is the future, which is internet radio stations, which are podcasts or something that is done all via the internet, which most terrestrial radio stations do now have, in addition to them being a brick and mortar type building. So again, your songs have received regular rotation, again, on more than 100 terrestrial radio stations across North America and more than 400 stations worldwide, if the facts are correct. So my question is, what steps did you personally take in your career to elevate your music career to this level?
Well,
obviously you hired Michael Stover. That was like probably one of the best things you ever did. But, you know, what other steps did you take?
Well, having a wonderful group of friends and musicians, first of all, to be able to grow and play with, that's the biggest part of it. I'm very fortunate to know a lot of giving human beings and people that are very talented and are very dedicated to their craft. So having music that is well crafted and played well is the biggest step. The next part of how do you capture that? Michael Jack, and somebody I've been working with since I was 16 years of age, who's a producer, engineer, he's worked with so many amazing people like Rush and Bono from U2 and The Trues and Oscar Peterson, and the list is really endless. But to have him as my friend working with me in my studio to be able to cut this music, to have it that pristine, not only standard, but in some cases when I've listened to some things, above standard quality, without being too prejudiced about the music, that's been the other diamond factor. And of course, number three, as you've so eloquently put, having somebody like Michael, who is persistent, eloquent, has the ability to talk to people, gets back to people, that has really accelerated. And that's why my original statement about, if you're serious about it and you really want to get your music played on close to 500 radio stations and be out there, you need to have that kind of representation. Because the reality of it is, too, having somebody behind you, that solicitation of what you're doing is so integral when it comes to that sort of holding power of who you are and what you do. And that's a big part of it. It's not just perception. And Michael carries himself so well. So often, Priscilla, I've heard from other people go, send me a personal email after I've done our show and go, you know your manager, Michael Stover? Yeah. He's such a nice guy. He's such a good guy. So that, all of that, that, has had that sort of telltale mechanism of it, from the inception of the music being created to how it's recorded to how it's being presented to the public, always goes with the envelope of, let's say, some sort of anthropological diplomacy. We go through it in a way that we're eloquent about it, we show it well, and we do it well. So that's what I think is, and having that confidence in yourself to believe in it and know that you can do it, and you know, put up the goods, as it were.
Put them up. Show me the money. Show me what you got. But that is kind
yeah,
of show
you
me
know.
The money, right?
And I mean, it's actions. It's actions speak louder than words, right? So.
Absolutely. Now you're not to keep tooting your horn, but that's what I love to do, Ed Roman. Now you're a 2014 Artist Music Guild Award nominee, a 2014 International Music and Entertainment Association Award winner, a two-time 2015 IMEA Award nominee, a 2015 and 2016 Josie Show Awards winner, an Academia Awards winner, and a two-time Indie Music Channel Award winner. So I can safely say that we can call you a real winner in the game of life. So congratulations on all those awards for your musical achievements, first of all. Now, not being in the music industry, obviously, I personally have not heard of all these awards and opportunities, and it's safe to say, I think, that most musical artists starting out in their career haven't heard of these particular opportunities either. So, question to you is, how does a musical artist learn about all of these award-winning opportunities on their own, say, if they don't have representation or people to help them?
Wonderful question, Priscilla, and thank you so much for all the accolades. I appreciate that. The formats and the platforms that are out there for building musical sort of websites and social connections like Reverb Nation or Sonic Bids or any of those places have been wonderful, because whether you're applying or not, they're always keeping you up to date, you know, and if you run your search categories and things of certain things that you want to try to do, it's very helpful. And then it's a matter of making sure, like, you know, being efficient to follow up with everything and shoot for it, and not to become discouraged by, you know, like, I mean, Michael and I, over the course of 1 week, we'll send out 40 or 50 different things through social platforms that are like that. And in order to see what's happening along with what we're already doing. And you have to remember that even if somebody doesn't accept you, that doesn't mean that what you're doing is subpar. It just means you need to move on. There isn't a door yet open or a crack in the window yet to get your finger in. So, but those things are incredible. And really, long before I met Michael, and that was one of the things when I met Michael, he's like, Oh, that's good you're doing that already, because, you know, it was Michael Jack, my producer and engineer, you know, sitting around the studio, and he's like, well, what are you doing other than this, 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 and this? Are you doing this? And I'm like, no. So we started to build this slowly, and I maintained it myself and daily, still do. I'm there every day doing things. It's kind of part of what you need to do, just like you said, with brick and mortar radio stations and the internet, and now with the internet radio being so popular and being able to listen to worldwide, we pretty much have to be doing the exact same kind of things and actually working both fields. It's a double-edged fence, if you will, because you still need to be in that terrestrial format of things and sending CDs to college radio and all sorts of stuff to run, you know, campaigns through them, because that's still very hand to envelope. And but then the internet is that whole other digital world that you can completely open yourself up to, not just in your own neighborhood and state or province, but internationally, because there's people that start following you in Mexico and Sri Lanka and Russia and Sweden and all those places that were so much more difficult in the past as a young entrepreneur musician slash that you would, you know, have to send, oh my God, envelopes of material and photocopying and 8x10 glossies and CDs and callbacks and send letterbacks and all of those kinds of things that have now become eliminated as a result of the digital age. So it's super important to build that foundation, because if you have that in place, it also creates that holding power for somebody else that might be like, well, how can I help you? Because really, how are you kind of helping yourself at the moment? And that really then starts to escalate and turn into this wheel where everybody's working it from both ends, and it turns into this wonderful snowball effect, if you will. And it's super, super important.
Absolutely. I constantly emphasize, people, you cannot just be an artist. You have to take on that role of being a business person. You cannot rely on other people to do that for you, or else you're not going to have a career. It is important. So I understand, I want to be an artist. I can't focus on it. Well, you better focus on it, because you better wake up and smell the bills. And you got to do, and you know, and you got to take care of the business, and you have to set aside a little bit of time. And if you hate it, you have to do it. Now, you performed, Ed, at the Red Gorilla Music Fest, the Millennium Music Conference, SS Kate May. You toured in both New York City and Philly, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Now, what is the secret, Ed, to you staying motivated and energized and just honestly, truly excited to perform your very best when you're constantly touring the world? Don't you just get exhausted? Not just from the grueling schedule, but, you know, singing, honestly, I've always, and I got so many questions about this, but, you know, you can answer the first one, but the separate one would be, don't you as an artist not get exhausted, not just from the grueling schedule, but singing the same songs repeatedly? I've always said, how the hell do musical artists go out there and sing, like when you're on tour, how can you go out there and sing the same songs, rehearse them, and then perform them every day, day after day? And then when you like do a tour, like for a whole year, I don't understand that. How does a musical artist cope and deal with that repetition? So I know it's a lot of questions, but answer well.
No, because they're beautiful questions, and they all kind of sort of navigate and circumnavigate each other. Because to me, first of all, it's like primary, the art has to move you. You're like, why did you write the tune? Like, to me, you know, I met a lot of people that have written music and for certain reasons, whether it be because they're looking for the immediate commercial value, they're writing it out of the sheer necessity of an emotional change they're going through, they're writing it because they're on some kind of a theoretical journey of composition and heightened awareness about melody. There's so many factors that you can't even summate them all into why that happens. But to me, it's that initial inertia and spark that keeps that fresh. And with that said, playing with musicians and making the music live then allows, and why I love to be able to kind of get into many worlds of music, is because I like to pull in the improvisational jazz sort of aspect to thinking behind the music. Because we may perform a tune a certain way in a rehearsal, and if we've done it four or five nights in a row, because of the listening process and certain things that start to evolve, there's spontaneity that occurs. There's things that open up because of the way that something is happening at the gig, or something that's happening on the stage between the musicians. And as a result, it's always kind of taking on a new life. I mean, even if I've played, you know, 40 tunes the night before at some pub or something, when I get in front of the microphone and I start singing that tune, it's not the same tune to me as it was the night before, nor to me will it be the night after, because everything is different in that room. The people are different. The energy in the room is different. I have to think differently, listen differently. And all of that, to me, creates that unique thing. Otherwise, because to me, I hate the robotic nature of life, and sometimes I detest schedule. But music doesn't ever give me that sort of feeling, because I allow that to happen. And as I say, so many of the people that I've been fortunate to play with, these amazing musicians, all are kind of from that ilk, and in the same sort of row of the choir, if you will. So when that happens, that's what kind of, when you get off stage or you're in the van later and you're traveling to the hotel or whatever the next day on the road, you remember like, oh yeah, last night, wasn't that cool that happened? that's not something you always try to anticipate for the next night. That just means that after those first bunch of gigs and you're on the road and things are starting to kick, you're listening differently. And I really like that. Like, I mean, I've heard that even about some Santana concerts that I was fortunate enough to see him this past summer. And I was like, I heard from some other people that he did a bunch of different tunes. Greg Rowley was on certain gigs that I didn't see. So it was like the music, the musicians, everything was a little different. The jams were a little different. The solos were different. The tunes melded a little differently. And I think that's really healthy. It's healthy for the audience. It's healthy for, obviously, the musicians, because they're then really practicing their craft. They're kind of becoming the conduit for the moment as it happens. And that's as cosmic and as elaborate as that answer sounds. It's really, for me, what it is and why I get excited about getting up every day. It's the same thing.
Well, I'm excited, Ed Roman, because it is that time. We promised everyone that we are going to play the single The Way She Goes from your latest album, Red Omen. But first, I wanted to say I absolutely love, 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 love the title of that album, Red Omen. This could totally be the title of a scary movie. I love it. I might steal that for one of my short films. Can you tell us just briefly, because we are running a little late. I wanted to pay it about around 5:30. It's 5:36 and we only have till 5:50. So just real briefly, can you tell us why the title Red Omen, and also what this particular song is about, or what was the motivation or inspiration for this song? And let's do it quickly so we can get that song played and come back to you.
Sure. Okay. So Red Omen, you said, sounds like a scary movie, and it's for the exact same reason. That it offers the thinker something of a sense of duality. Because, look, here we're l'amour, the precipice of Valentine's Day, love. Red is a symbol of that, is it not? Yes, it is. But, you know, we also use it to make sure that we stop at the four roads, the crossroads, the stop sign. It's a warning symbol. And the same thing with omen. An omen can be, you know, taken as something to be a sense of warning. Wait, well, that's an omen, a bad omen. But others might say, oh, I see it as a good omen, eh? And as a result, that's kind of why that language is even there in the flip of my own name. That duality that is in language and ideas is always happening. So that's why it's kind of called what it is. And the way she goes comes from a thing my grandfather used to say all the time, which was dirty hands make clean money. And, you know, where do songs come from? For months, that tune kind of percolated. But what I wanted to really try to explain was that no matter what hurdle we have in life and the difficulties that we have, there's always something that we have to overcome. The important thing is that we overcome it, and that's kind of the way it goes. That's life. Whether we could look at it in Egyptian times or Aztec times or at the beginning of the 19th century or the 20th century or the moment that we're living in today, it's kind of always there, but we have to keep kind of moving forward. And, you know, and all the little metaphors that are there kind of come from ideas that I've been thinking about for the last, you know, year of my life, and how to summate it. It's in that song.
Wow. Without further ado, let's get this party started. You've been waiting to hear Ed Roman, The Way She Goes, from his latest album, Red Omen. And let's take it away and let's listen.
I could dance a lifetime with my sweet tobacco rose. You could build your nation with dirty hands in denim clothes. And even in our twilight, I think that everybody knows. An open mind, a subtle heart are the only way she goes, and that's the way she goes. Just like an open door or window, that's the way she goes. Just like the bathwater with the baby, that's the way she goes. Too many people acting crazy, that's the way she goes. Have you been singing this song lately? The whistle on your kettle's been chirping, and beat
dead is the song. Your mortal shackles been winning battles. I think you've known this all along. The squeaky wheel's been seasoned because the grease price is too high. Just change another channel. It never ever changes. And wave it all goodbye. That's the way she goes. Just like an open door or window. That's the way she goes. Just like the bathwater with the baby. That's the way she goes. Too many people acting crazy. That's the way she goes. If you've been singing this song lately, what's wrong, but we say it's right. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la. We know it's black, but we say it's white. Sha-la-la-la-la-la. You gotta put up a hell of a fight. Yes, you do. So summarize your fears and woes. It's like a fragrant golden season. It purifies you and your soul. I tip my hat to rebels when the newsman calls him foe. And if you check inside your pockets, you'll find it's all just one big show. But that's the way she goes. Like an open door or window, that's the way she goes. Just like the bathwater with the baby, that's the way she goes. Too many people been acting crazy, that's the way she goes. If you've been singing this song lately, that's the way she goes. Singing this song lately, that's the way she goes. If you've been singing this song lately, that's the way she goes. If you've been singing this song lately, that's the way she goes. If you've been singing, if you've been singing this song, that's the way she goes.
Strong to me, Beatles sound to me. I love that whole Beatles vibe. I don't know if that it was what you were going for, but that's what it sounds like to me. It's got that Beatles-esque sound. Now, what type of response are you getting from fans and new listeners on its release?
Well, huge response and huge, huge enjoyment from so many people that are listening to it. And things like I'm hearing like ear candy, I can't get it out of my head. It tells and says so much without saying anything directly about what the human condition is going through in this day and age. All of that stuff has made me feel like I hit the nail on the head with this one. I have a good friend of mine. I'm Dave Marshak. I'm always bumping ideas off, and I go up to his kitchen every once in a while. And I'm like, what do you think of this tune? You know, he's like, dude, that's like a silver dollar number, man. Like, so when I hear that, I'm like, okay, so I got it. I hit it on the head. And for you to say the Beatles thing, I mean, you know, the Beatles, I think so many people have them as some form of influence in their lives. You know, they grew up, let's say, between 19... such and such and such and such. But the reality of it is that, I mean, Michael Jack loves the Beatles too, and it has that choral harmony in it, and Michelle Rasky lent herself so well to Tobias Tinker on the keyboard that gives it that kind of knee slap and Americana-esque feel, I guess. And that's kind of what it is. It's just simple and easy going, but trying to say a lot without, you know, really pontificating too much.
I think that something to cement what's happening, again, that has such a Beatlesque vibe that I can imagine people gravitating to the song and just loving it for simply for that sound that I hear, which who doesn't love the Beatles? You're crazy if you don't love the Beatles. So what has happened, and I don't know if it's specifically because of this particular song, because I think you may have had these fans for a while, but what I read about you and I found fascinating was that you have your airplay and your chart recognition has won over legions of fans all around the world, and they call themselves, are you ready for this, people? Ed heads. I love it. That's so funny. Instead of deadheads, I think, which was the Grateful Dead, but I'm not sure. But yeah. You know, that is so funny because it's also very cool to have a group of fans who love you and your music enough to entitle themselves the Ed Heads and I guess form sort of a fan club. I don't know what they're doing, the little Ed Heads, but what do you think about that situation? I mean, do you acknowledge the Ed Heads on a regular basis and show your appreciation? What exactly is happening with the Ed Heads?
Absolutely. And I mean, when any accolade that I receive, there's usually some indication from me that I'm greatly appreciative of everything that everybody does in order to get the music to that level. I guess it's more of a family of thinking and stuff behind the whole concept of the Ed Head thing. And, you know, I love that sense of participation, like I said, that I've been able to develop all over the world with people, because that's really what I'm hoping for with the music. And I think a lot of music from the past has given the message a vehicle through the music to be able to get to other people to convey these kind of ideas about stuff. Like, I mean, some of the people that I love, like Mark Twain or satiristic comedians of yesteryear and today, all have this sort of really eloquent way of being able to describe something about what we're going through, but say it in a really interesting, humoristic, and poetic way. So I think that's what Ed Heads get, and why they consider themselves Heads of Ed, because they kind of think and feel the same thing, or have that same living vibratory quality, again, like all sort of in the same choir together. And I'm greatly appreciative of it, because I always say, united we stand. I wouldn't be where I am today without their support and help and participating in what I do. And because it's, you know, like it's a family, and it's always something that, again, that I've wanted to do, is make sure that it's not just something that happens in my own country, because I've been fortunate enough to be able to travel around the world, play music, and I've always realized through that experience that music is that language. It's an international connection point to ideas and philosophy. I mean, even somebody like Bob Marley was given the keys to cities because of his contribution to, like, the human condition. And I think music says a lot about that. It's not just an ego trip and a fancy dance. There's so much more to what all art actually represents and how it, you know, communicates these vital messages. Herbie Hancock once said, the definition of an artist is one who has the ability to fuse their life with the rhythm of the times. And aside from making it a commodity and paying our bills and doing what we do, that's really the ultimate reason why we do what we do. We're reacting in some way to something. And our way to react is not to pick up a stick or a gun, but to pick up a brush or a guitar or dance something in some way that's going to get somebody thinking about the current situations that we're all in. I love it. Art is such a potent thing, man. You
know? Well, Ed Heads, Ed Roman has done it again with the way she goes from his latest album, Red Omen. Well, you and your Ed Heads, I wish you guys all the best and so much success. And you have to come back on the show. You know you're one of my faves.
You're so awesome, Priscilla. I love talking. You're so high energy. I feel like it's like I'm hanging out with dynamite.
Woo! And this is no alcohol, drugs, and no mental deficiency. It's all me. Of course, there might be a mental deficiency. I can't.
But see, you're in L.A., right? You're L.A., California, and Arizona. I think those areas have these like mystical energy properties to it that sort of reinvigorate people in terms of the way that they are. So I get it.
Get it, honey. Woo! I'd like to tell you, please, please give Michael Stover my best, and we're going to have you back on the show again. EdRoman.net. Say goodbye to your fans because we got to go.
Good night, Ed. Thank you so much, Priscilla, and then thank you, LA.
LA. Thank you, Canada. It's all about Canada now, people. EdRoman.net. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.